The path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
You know that the law of attraction just absolutely must work, but you haven't seen the results and you're getting kind of tired of it not working for you. It maybe seems a little too simple to you, or it just has not all come together. Well, my guest tonight knows exactly how that feels, but now he's considered the law of attraction science guy. Greg Kuhn discovered just how simple the law of attraction was, but when I first got to talking with Greg, he talked about his subject, which is quantum physics, as being simple. And I just had to laugh at that because, while I'm simple, I sure didn't get it. But Greg is here to help us unlock the power of quantum physics. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Cheryl, it's truly a joy to be back with you.
Well, thanks for being here. You have opened my eyes up in so many ways. And for those that are listening, Greg has written a couple really tremendous books. The first one that I read, which is Why Quantum Physicists Don't Get Fat. Okay, that attracted me from the very first. And then the second one was Why Quantum Physicists Do Not Fail. And okay, Greg, let's just start with the simple part of it. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Exactly. Because I woke up this morning just like you and just like your listeners, and I asked myself that very same question. I've been given the gift of this day. Why wouldn't I make the best life, have the most fun, and have the most success that I possibly can? And like many people intuitively know and are continuing to learn, our ability to influence our material world, our ability to influence the life that we experience when we open our eyes each morning is really pretty powerful. And so why not? Why wouldn't I take the time today to exert all the influence that I can? And actually, I think I've found some answers to why I wouldn't, and also found some answers that work very well to allow us to really use the law of attraction for those things that we really want. I don't know about you, the first time I heard about it, the first things I thought of were, I can be rich. I can have a soulmate. I can have the body I always wanted. I can have a BMW. These are all the things that immediately came to mind. But yet, I really wasn't able to create those things in my material reality until I learned what quantum physics has to say about how we create our material world.
Well, if we can, let's just back up a minute, because I know we're going to get into the meat of this really quickly. But let's talk for just a minute about what we say, why wouldn't I, or why shouldn't I, so to speak, create this the best life that I possibly can? What do you say to someone who's looking at you or listening to you and going, yeah, but you don't live my life. You don't have my bills. You don't have the catastrophe that happened to me. You don't have all of these negative things that are going to tumble into their lives. How do you deal and help with someone who is stuck in a negative place and just doesn't believe you?
Well, that's a great question, and a seminal question. Perhaps the first question that anyone's going to have. You know, I start with a basic premise, and that is that human beings are born to desire. Human beings are born to want to expand into greater versions of ourselves. And those greater versions of ourselves have signposts, if you will, where we attach our desire to certain achievements or attainments or successes. They may be material. They may be personal. They may be intangible. It may be something as simple as loving myself and feeling self-acceptance. It may be something as materialistic as the brand new convertible BMW that I want. We're born to desire. And as we grow up and become adults, we're faced really with two choices. One is to learn how to expand into those greater versions of ourselves, or to pretend like we don't really desire those things, to dampen our desire. And that's a perspective that I have had plenty of familiarity with, that I would venture to guess most people have had experience with, to go through my life and say, you know what, I want to be financially abundant. I want to love myself. I want to have a relationship with a soulmate. I want to have a healthy, happy body that I'm proud of. I do want these things, yet somehow they're out of my reach. So I begin to think, well, I must not be destined for that. I must not be good enough for that. Those things must be for other people. Those things must be for people who are lucky or special or born into the right family, but they're not for me. And so we dampen, we actively try to sublimate those things that we desire. But here's the catch, and here's where all the suffering comes in. It's impossible to really dampen our desires. They don't ever go away. And, I don't think anybody, I wouldn't trust anybody who would tell me that pain can be completely eradicated from my life. Because to me, pain is the distance between my state of being and my desires, or my current material reality and my desires. And that's pain, and that's painful. However, suffering is optional. Suffering comes from me trying to actively pretend that I don't really desire the things I desire. That's a very painful way to live. But unless I know how to grow into those things, it's really my only choice. And so out of a sense of not having any alternatives, it's pretty easy to fall into that trap. And some people spend a great portion of their lives chasing that path. It's a very, very painful path. And, one that is very avoidable. As soon as we avail ourselves of the innate, internal, God-given resources that we have. We were born to desire. We were born to create. We were born to expand.
Well, let's use that as a jumping off point here, because if we're going to understand and unlock for us the powers of quantum physics, where do we start?
The basic starting point is this. There is no pre-existing material world that has already been set, that's already been created, and awaits our discovery. Now, although we are creating our material world, that creation, that exchange between me and the unformed field of particles that will become material objects, is so instantaneous. The exchange of energy between me and that unformed field is so fast, it's virtually unmeasurable. And so it's very, very natural for us to harbor and enable the illusion that all of these things that comprise my life, my world, are pre-existing. And that it's very easy to harbor and enable the illusion that life is happening to me, and that I'm merely responding to it. Of course, quantum physics is very clear that, and probably the simplest way to explain it is to say that the basic building blocks of any material object are not actually things until they are observed. The basic building blocks of any material object exist in a state of mere and pure potential until I observe them and communicate to them what my expectations are for their materialization. When I observe the quantum field of unformed particles that are nothing but potential, I directly communicate to them exactly what I expect them to be. And so the material world in this way, it's a very apt metaphor to say that the material world is a mirror of me. Now, that can be a scary thing to hear. It can also be something that's difficult to believe, but I assure you that quantum physics is the most precise and reliable body of science ever created. I think I usually quote Brian Greene, who's a very well-known physicist, author, TV host. He hosts a Nova series, a well-known man. He claims that humans will never be able to come any closer to understanding how the universe works than what we have learned and are learning through the study of quantum physics. So what I'm sharing with you is not a feel-good philosophy. Although it sounds like something from an Eastern mystic, it is not. It is scientifically reliable and scientifically valid. And so to learn that, if we can accept that this is true, and it is true, the next leap is to say, well, if the material world is a mirror of me, does that mean that I should blame myself for all these bad things? And that's something that I like to help people make a leap past as well.
And I like that. What I want to do is just back up for a second here, and that's definitely an area I want to get into. But one of the things that you say in your book, and this was something that was very hard for me to grasp, but I think it's a very important point to bring forward, is the old adage that hears, if the tree falls in the wood, does it make a sound? And your next response to that is there even a forest? Now, I'm sure there's a better way to articulate that, but if no one hears or no one is in that forest to see the tree fall, is there even a forest? Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. Every unique consciousness is experiencing her or his own individual universe. Now, that sounds a little bit like science fiction. Sounds like a Star Trek episode. But it is very true. Your physical human body is just the vehicle, if you will, for your consciousness. And your consciousness is energy. And when you are awake and, you know, conscious and alert, you are creating a material world. You are an energy who is having a time-space event. A time-space event is quantum physicists' term for a material object that has left its state of pure potential and become one concrete, definitive material thing. And that's your body. So your consciousness is walking around in this body and is creating the world that you see. Now, each one of us is doing that, of course. And that's not so obviously, Cheryl still exists when I'm not observing Cheryl. However, I am creating my version of Cheryl based on my beliefs and my expectations that drive how I create my material world. And this starts to get into, well, okay, how can we influence that? But it is true. If you're not in the forest, if there's nobody in the forest and a tree falls, the question has already been answered. It's not whether or not it makes a sound. If there's nobody in the forest, there's no forest. It doesn't actually exist, because that's not how our material world is created.
And it is truly our expectation that there is a forest there, just like there's an expectation of who Greg Kuhn is and who Cheryl Maloney is.
Absolutely. And that really leads right into how it is we can exert greater influence. The one thing that I would stress to somebody interested in really unleashing the law of attraction in a way that she had always dreamed it could work for her, is that you're already influencing the material world. There's no way you could not do that every moment of your life. So you're not actually learning how to do it. You're doing it. What you can learn is how to do it more closely aligned with your desires, rather than keeping them pushed away from you.
And this all ties into what you talk about, is telling that better feeling story. So how does that play into this?
Well, I want to say that when I talk about telling a better feeling story, I also want to stress that that story has to be believable. Telling a better feeling story is our method to influence the material world and move it slowly but surely in the direction of our desires, so that it becomes more and more aligned with our desires. But telling a better feeling story is not the same thing as giving ourselves positive affirmations or always thinking positive things. Those two tools are useful tools, and they do help us feel better in the moment. However, the way that our brain is created, and by the way, our brain is a very powerful tool that our consciousness uses to have this experience called being a human being. But our brain is not who we are, and our brain is not the decider, if you will. Our consciousness is, our energy is, and our energy uses the brain as a filtering tool, if you will. That's probably the simplest way to explain it. The way our brain is built, we have a very, very powerful subconscious mind. And our subconscious mind, if I am seeing a material reality that is not pleasing to me, you mentioned your body. If I look in the mirror and I see, oh, Greg is fat, if I tell myself positive affirmations, if I say, no, Greg is really thin, Greg is happy with his body, Greg is okay just as he is, I'm not saying that it's not okay to think those things. Of course, those are desirable things to think and feel. However, if I say that when I look in the mirror and see fat Greg, if I say those positive affirmations, they may make me feel good in the moment, but my subconscious brain knows that I don't really believe them. So what's important is to phrase that better feeling story in a way that is believable. That is vital, and that's one of the most common missing components when I talk to people and coach people about how to really unlock the power of the law of attraction.
In your life, I mean, your background and your history, as you talk about, you were giving yourself all those very positive affirmations like you thought was what was going to work for the law of attraction. Why don't you tell the audience what happened to you with those positive affirmations?
Yes, I learned some very valuable lessons and some very costly lessons in the long run. However, the investment has been well worth it, because I learned so much more than I did through all of my college and higher education. I really felt like I knew enough about the law of attraction and positive thought and how we create our reality to jump in head first, take a large leap of faith, and then make a commitment to nothing but positive thought. And all my actions were designed to bring about material wealth. Well, looking back on it, my beliefs about material wealth, here's probably the easiest way to explain it. In my current material reality, if I don't have material wealth, that means that my beliefs are not aligned with material wealth. If they were, I'd already have it. So mm-hmm. if I begin to take action to bring material wealth with that current belief system that's not aligned with material wealth, and try to solve my dilemma by merely giving myself positive thought and positive affirmation, and I was absolutely committed to that. I journaled, I meditated, I prayed, I read, I talked, only positively about my endeavors. And 4 years later, I was $1 million in debt, my family was falling apart, and I was no doubt, my attorney, I remember the day my attorney said, Greg, I can only hold the banks off 6 more months, and then you're going to have to declare bankruptcy. So that's where it took, that's where not changing my beliefs, but merely taking action and using positive affirmation to back up the action led me. Not something I would recommend to anyone.
All right. Well, as we're getting down and actually winding down this show, how about if you could give our listeners maybe one or two things they can do right now to switch that mindset over from positive affirmations to telling a better feeling story? How would they do that?
The simplest and best place to start, Cheryl, is to acknowledge where I really am. To not hide from it. You know, somehow we feel like acknowledging our bad feeling beliefs or acknowledging where we really are, how we really feel, is going to counteract the law of attraction. What I would say is that the opposite is true. You feel that way and you believe those things every day. To acknowledge them is your key to freedom. And that is what makes your stories believable. And I'll give you an example. If I want material abundance in my life, and my goal is to tell the best feeling believable story that I can and to improve those stories as I progress, I will always start with acknowledging where I really am, because that will allow my subconscious to really believe the new story. And an example of that would be to say, although I'm currently not experiencing the financial abundance that I truly desire, and although I'm not very hopeful about my ability to create the financial abundance I truly desire, and although I don't have any history that buoys me in my journey forward, I can, just for today, believe that if I simply work on improving my beliefs by telling myself the best feeling stories about money and me, that it's possible that over the course of time, those things can change for me. Now, that story as a starting point, using financial abundance as the example, is very affirming of what I truly believe and what I'm currently experiencing. And the subconscious will completely believe that story. And I've created some very positive expectations for what I expect to be happening, not just in the reformation of my beliefs, but in my material world. I haven't put any pressure on myself. I haven't created any undue or grandiose expectations that I know really aren't probably going to happen. I've gently moved myself in the direction of my desires. And it's very much like an ocean liner turning around and doing a 180 in the middle of the Atlantic. An ocean liner is not going to turn on a dime and head back in the other direction. The ocean liner is going to make a very gradual turn, a wide, sloping, arcing turn. But the good news for Law of Attraction devotees and practitioners is that the minute I tell myself a story like that, the one I just described, the minute I begin to turn my ocean liner, I will begin to experience a different material reality around that subject.
Perfect.
Will it be the material reality that I ultimately desire? No, but that will come with time.
But it's a great start. Well, Greg, we've actually gotten to the end of the program, so thank you for being with us here tonight. For everyone that's listening, Greg's website is whyquantumphysicists.com. So thank you for being here. It's been wonderful to have you help us understand not just the science, but the practical methods to make quantum physics, the law of attraction, work for us. Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Have a good night.
We never have enough time. Thank you so much for having me on.
That means we have another show.
Let's do it.
Okay.